Well, good morning, man. It's great to be back with you. If you are a guest or just forgot, I am Pastor Kirby. I am one of your pastors here at Living Hope. It's great to be with you. You know, it's interesting. Life, I think, is just full of questions, is it not? I mean, we have questions about everything. This morning, my alarm went off. Now, I don't understand why we say that when the alarm is actually turning on, right? Think about that, you know, things that make you go, Why do we drive in a parkway and park in a driveway? I don't know. Why is it that we say, oh, I slept through the night, I slept like a baby? When anybody that's had a baby knows it's not that restful, right? If I throw a cat out of a window, is that considered kitty litter? I haven't thrown a cat out the window. Don't send me hate mail. It's okay. But it brings up to mind all of these questions of life, and that's where Habakkuk was. We're talking about this guy named Habakkuk, and in the book of the Bible that shares the same name, and he had all of these questions about life and what they meant in this world. And so if you want to turn there, if you have your Bibles, you can open up to the book of Habakkuk. It's at the end of the Old Testament, towards there. It's also going to be on the screen if you want to follow along in that regard as well. But there's a driving thought of Habakkuk, an overall idea that defines this entire book. And that idea is this: why doesn't God seem fair? Why doesn't he seem fair? That's a tough question. Maybe you've asked that. Maybe you want to know. People ask these questions all the time. It's God, why is it that evil people seem to succeed or thrive, whereas somebody who's trying to do their best and is just a great person seems to be down on their luck always? Why does that happen? Why is it that I work hard in my job? I have character, I have competence, and I'm passed over for a promotion, but this person over here, all they do is kiss up and they get promoted, right? We ask these questions. Why is it that somebody who's filled their body and their life with garbage their entire life, they live to be 95, but the strong Christian father and husband dies at 42 of cancer? We have these questions that get us. God, why is it that I raise my kids to follow you? I raise them in the church. I raise them to have a relationship with you, and now they're nowhere near God. But then this family, they raise their kids the furthest thing from God, and they turned out great. God, why is it that I try to do what your word says with my money, and I'm helping people, and I'm tithing and I'm doing it, but I can't make ends meet at the end of the month? But then there's somebody over here who's decided they do whatever they want. They spend their money on whatever they want and on anything, and they have a bunch of extra. We have these questions with God. God, when I pray, it's like you're not even listening. But then there's this person over here who prays, and it's like you just change it. Do whatever they want right away. Why does that happen? How come I'm battling with depression? How come my family is sick when all of this has happened? When I've done all of this stuff, why did these things happen? You don't seem fair. Now, as we study the book of Habakkuk, we're going to understand that the guy named Habakkuk had these questions as well. He was surrounded by a culture, he was surrounded by people, and like many of us, when that stuff in our life happens, we come face to face, we come crashing into this the faith law. What I mean by that is what we see, what we experience, what we see does not live up or match up with what we believe or what we were taught. And what are we going to do with that? When what we see doesn't match what we believe, how do we reconcile this? How do we live in this? See, the book of Habakkuk was written in a time where God's people were becoming, I guess, just very disobedient. They were far away from God and pushing God away more and more and more. And so God speaks to Habakkuk and says, hey, Habakkuk, by the way, I love you. I love my people. But you're more and more, you're going away from me. So here's what I have to do. I am going to, I've got to discipline you. And I'm going to use a people who are worse than you, who are more evil than you, to do that. Habakkuk's like, that doesn't make any sense at all. Why would you do that? We're not as bad as them. Why would you use them to punish us? The name Habakkuk literally means to wrestle. It means to wrestle or to embrace. And so we're going to see throughout this series that Habakkuk is wrestling with God. He wrestles with these ideas and these questions about fairness, about God, about faith. So here's the deal. I'm going to put this right out in front. Here's what you're not going to get today. You're not going to get a sitcom sermon. Okay? I love a sitcom sermon. Here's what I mean. There's a teaching, there's some humor, there's some tension maybe, and then it all gets resolved in 30 minutes. I love a sitcom sermon. You're not going to get that. Okay, I'm going to warn you now. Habakkuk is not that type. It's just not. There's some very deep, challenging questions that get us. It's a little bit more like a reality show. A little bit more like real life. There's challenges, there's hurdles, and it doesn't always just resolve happily and prettily. I don't even know if prettily is a word, but it is now. So anyways, now that we have all the warm fuzzies out of the way, let's jump into Habakkuk, shall we? Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 1. The prophecy that Habakkuk the prophet received. How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you, violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. Therefore, the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in righteous, so that justice is perverted. I want to pause there for just a moment. The prophecy, or in some translations called an oracle, okay? It's what he received, right? It's an omen. It's bad news. It's that prophetic message. And Habakkuk gets this and says, yeah, God, I don't want to do that. I mean, you ever had to deliver bad news? It's not fun, is it? I don't like to do it. I don't think any of us like to do it. I don't envy the doctors. Here's the bad news. So he receives this message and says, God, I don't want to tell them this. They're not going to like this message. They're just not. It's not a good message. In fact, they're probably not going to like me afterwards, so how about I just not give it to them? Right? That's the oracle. That's the prophecy. That's the message he was given. And he doesn't like it. And so he pushes back. And in verse 3, 4, and 5, he says, why do you tolerate wrong? He says that to God. He says, I don't get it. Why do you do this? Why do you tolerate wrong? If we take that to our day and age, we have the same questions. We have the same ideas. He says, okay, God, I don't get it. That drunk driver crashed into a car and killed an innocent little child. How can you tolerate that? It doesn't make any sense. There's a girl who keeps going from bed to bed to bed and continues to get pregnant over and over and over again and aborts a child over and over again. And we're a couple who just, our only prayer is to have a child and we can't get pregnant. God, is not fair. I don't like this. There's a kid who's angry and comes to school with a gun and shoots 8 of his classmates. There are innocent kids or teachers. God, where are you in that? God, I have a friend who, because of the color of his skin, he was beaten and abused and convicted for something he didn't do. Where's the justice in that? There's corrupt governments. There's corrupt workplaces. There's terrorism. Basically, he's saying, as far as I can tell, God, nothing is turning out fair. I warned you, it's not a sitcom today. But so Habakkuk has three major pushbacks against God. He has three major problems with God in all of this. The first problem that he took with God, it says, you don't seem to care. All of this is happening, it's going on, and you don't seem to care. Why do you let all this stuff happen? It doesn't make sense. The second problem Habakkuk had with God, you aren't doing much when you actually could. This one is actually filled with respect. Look at it. You aren't doing much when you could. Habakkuk recognizes God, recognizes God's power and authority and the ability to actually do it. He recognizes God was the one in control. But why aren't you? You aren't doing anything. How can you allow this to happen? I mean, if I were in your shoes, I would take care of it. You ever said that to God? I have. The third problem that Habakkuk had with God, what you are doing doesn't seem fair. In other words, Habakkuk is saying, God, if I were in your shoes, I would do it totally different. And of course, we'd be right. Right? But let's be honest. You ever thought of that? You ever asked yourself one of those questions or had one of those prevailing thoughts? God, I don't like the way you're doing this. This doesn't make any sense. Now, but that leads to another question. Is that even appropriate? Like, we riddle ourselves. Is it even okay to ask that question, God? Can I even doubt? Can I ask you if this is okay? Can I do that? And we're filled with this question. But it's my understanding, after reading Scripture and understanding, it is absolutely fair game to ask those questions. It is fair game to ask God, why? What? I don't understand. I don't agree. I don't get it. It is fair game to ask those questions. Look at the Psalms. I would argue that a third of the Psalms are people saying, God, don't leave me. God, where are you? God, why is this happening? Read the Psalms. Read Lamentations. Read the prophet Job. Here, very godly people are crying out, God, why is this happening? God, where are you? God, what's going on? Over and over. And so I would say that people generally we're afraid. We're afraid that if I ask a question to God, that I won't have a faith anymore. Or God won't love me. And I think, unfortunately, for what it's worth, from a church perspective, let me apologize. Because I think the church has done a really poor job of allowing us to ask questions. Where we say, if you ask questions, if you doubt, you don't have a faith. I'm sorry. I am truly sorry. Because I truly believe that we are invited and encouraged to ask questions. And they're an important part of our faith journey, which will actually make it stronger if you bring your questions before God. So what do we do? What do we do when our eyes, the things that we see with our eyes don't line up with the things that we know or the things that we believe? What are we going to do when we come face to face with this faith law in our own life? Let's put it like this. Say you're a person and you're without Christ, you don't have a relationship with Christ, but then something happens and God gets a hold of your heart. You put your trust in Jesus and you say, I'm going to give you my life. I follow you. Say that happens. And your life is changed. It's new. It's different. And everybody's at work like, dude, you're weird. What's going on? You know, because your life is so changed because of the power of Jesus Christ. And you come to church and the preacher is like, whatever they say is like speaks right to you. Oh, that sermon, you must have been listening in on my phone conversations, right? And it's like, that was so great. And you get in the car and like your favorite song comes on the radio. And it's like, oh, that was great, right? And you have all of these great God coincidences happening. And it's amazing. And you get the front row parking spot at the mall. And clearly God was there, right? You have all of these things, but then something happens. You come to church and you sit through the sermon. And you're like, huh? That didn't speak to me at all. Or you get in the car and you turn on the radio and you're like, oh, I don't like that song. That's really weird, right? And you pray whereas before you were praying, it's like God would just speak to you and answer you. Now all of a sudden you pray and you ask and you plead and something the exact opposite of what you prayed for happens. Like, wait a minute. Whoa, what's going on here, God? This isn't what I signed up for. I don't understand what you're doing here. I don't get what's going on. And so before long, we say, God, I thought you were this, but now this is happening. And I'm not sure what to do with it. And so we come to this faith law interaction. Someone gets sick. Someone gets in a car accident. They're not healed. What do we do with all of that? I'm not sure what I believe. And so typically what happens, most people will generally respond in one of two ways. The first way they'll respond is complete denial that anything of like this is happening. You know, it's like going to the doctor and the doctor says, hey, you're sick. This is your diagnosis. This is the treatment that we've got to take. And you're like, nope, I'm not sick. I'm going to go home and everything will be just fine. And so we have a faith experience and nothing lines up and we say, that didn't happen. And I'm going to just lovingly, graciously party and go back to where I was with God because none of that happened. That's one response. The other response, when all of this happens, when life comes, we say, God, I don't understand why you're doing this. I don't get it. I don't like it. I thought you were this, but you're actually this. And if this is the way you're going to be, I don't want anything about it. So God, I'm going to push you aside. I no longer want you in my life. Typically, those are the two responses that we have. But let me challenge you to a third response. This is the hardest response. When that happens, when life comes and you're ready to walk away, what are you going to do? The third and difficult option is, God, I'm still going to trust you. God may take you on a journey. I'm not going to lie. Things might just get harder before they get better. Because believe it or not, God's not a genie. And it's really hard to reconcile in what we see, what we are become aware of does not come in line with what we think God should do or who we think God is. And you may even have more questions. You may even have more struggles and wonder what's actually happened. But if you continue to stick with God, no matter what goes on around you, I can assure you that if you just hold on, if you just hold on, God will do something in your life that never would have been possible without it. Your life will change in a way that never could have been possible without just simply holding on. And he will take your faith to a place of intimacy, trust, and respect that you never could have believed would have happened. Only if you choose the third option and just hold on. Sometimes that's all we've got. Sometimes that's it. It's just, God, I'm getting killed here. I'm getting surrounded. Life is really starting to wear me down. And I don't see you. I don't feel you. And it's not lining up with what I think. But I'm going to trust you. It's the hardest choice in faith. And as one author puts this, is we take our doubts and we doubt towards faith. Henry Blackaby called these experiences the crisis of faith. When we have this crisis of faith, what are we going to do? We're going to run? We're going to blow off God? Or are we going to doubt towards faith? Everybody I know that has had this most intimate encounter with God, that has the closest relationship with Jesus that I know, have been through these crises of faith. In fact, they may have been through more than one. And on the other side, their faith is stronger than anything I could ever hope for. And I just look at them, I'm amazed. I'm like, how is it so easy for you? And they're like, oh, you don't understand. The crisis of faith, they doubted towards God. Look at this in James chapter 1. Consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. See, God may lovingly allow you to go through seasons of doubts and insecurities and fear and questions, because he's going to do something amazing in your life that never would have been possible without that season. And so some of you are today even are wondering, God, where are you at in all of this? You got a diagnosis, you got news, or over and over and over, you see the state of this world, whatever it is, and you're like, God, where are you? What are you doing? This is a very important part of your faith journey, and how are you going to respond? And that's where Habakkuk was. He says, God, what are you doing? I don't understand. And God responded. God responded to Habakkuk. But the challenge was, he didn't respond to Habakkuk the way Habakkuk really wanted God to respond. Let's jump down. Look at this in verse 5. God said, look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed. For I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe, even if you were told. In other words, God says, when I tell you this, you're going to be like, well, wait a minute, God. No, stop. Hold on. Are you sure about this? What is God going to say? What is he going to say that's so amazing? Look at this, verse 6. I am raising up the Babylonians, that ruthless and impetuous people who sweep across the whole earth to seize dwellings not their own. They are a feared and dreaded people. They are law to themselves and promote their own honor. So here's the deal, Habakkuk. The Babylonians, they're worse than you. They're worse than all of your people. They're evil. They're terrible. They're corrupt. And guess what? I'm going to use them to teach you and destroy your people. Huh? That doesn't make sense at all. That's not fair. Why would you do that? So the question is, can you still be a deeply committed follower of Jesus, a deeply committed believer of Jesus, and still have questions and doubts? I want to say something to you that hopefully is freeing, hopefully is encouraging. And that is, as a deeply strong believer in Jesus, you can have questions. You can have doubts. And again, I'm sorry if you were ever told that that's not allowed. See, you can have at the same moment, at the same exact time, you can have your questions and doubts. You can also have faith. Look at this. In verse 12, Habakkuk shows us what it means. Lord, are you not from everlasting? My God, my Holy One, you will never die. You, Lord, have appointed them to execute judgment. You, my rock. There's his strong faith. God, this is who you are. This is what I have known you to be. I still honor you. I still trust you. But here's my question. Here's my concern. Here's my doubt. You, my rock, have ordained them to punish. Your eyes, they're too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrongdoing. Why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent when the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves? You have made people like the fish in the sea, like the sea creatures that have no ruler. Essentially, Habakkuk is saying, God, I believe. It's really difficult. I don't know if I can do it. Some of you may be there right now. You're in chapter 1 of Habakkuk. You don't understand how you get it, but I got some bad news and I got some good news, and you always get bad news first. Here's the deal. For Habakkuk especially, chapter 2 is not much better. It's just not. Number 1, we're wondering. Number 2, we're waiting and waiting and waiting and a whole bunch more waiting. But if you continue to stick with God, if you continue to literally just hold on, he will show you and he will bring you to a place, no matter what you see, no matter what is coming around you, no matter what happens, you will still be able to worship him because of what happens, but because of how you have experienced God. And that doesn't happen until chapter 3. But for those of you in chapter 1, what do we do? What do we do? And what we see doesn't line up with what we believe. Here's what I'm going to encourage you to do. Do the Habakkuk. This is not a dance. It's not a dance. Habakkuk, hold on. That's it. Hold on tight. Doubt towards faith. Cling to God. Say, God, I don't like this. I don't agree with it. I don't think this is fair. I don't think this is right. I think you can do more, but I trust you. If you're in chapter 1, I'm telling you, it's not easy. And I'm not going to stand here and tell you that necessarily your life is just going to be so much better. It might get harder before it gets easier. But when we come through it and we're not letting go and we hold on to it, at some point in our chapter 3 of our life, we will get to the point that God never let go of you. Ever. How much he values you, how much he loves you, how much he wants you. He never let go of you. Please don't let go of him. Choose to hang on. So now if this were a sitcom sermon, I'd give you a cute story and wrap it up and we'd all go our happy merry way, but I've warned you already. This is not a sitcom sermon. This is not a sitcom book. Please come back. Understand that there is a chapter 3. Understand there is more than a chapter 1 faith of fear and doubts and questions. Please come back. Let us walk through Habakkuk together and see how God did not let go of Habakkuk in the midst of all of that. Would you pray with me, please? God, I got to tell you, I don't understand so much in this world right now. I don't understand how people of faith, religious leaders, can hurt so many people. I don't understand how men can use their power to abuse and hurt so many women. I don't understand why people of color are being hurt. I don't understand why there is so much hatred and anger in this world. I don't understand why there's corruption. I don't understand, and I don't think it's fair. That's not justice to me. Jesus, I believe in you, but I don't always understand. How am I supposed to do this? How am I supposed to reconcile what I see with what I believe? Jesus, I'm going to hold on to you this week because I know who you are. You have shown me who you are countless times in the past. Right now, there might be a time where some of us are wondering if you've left us, if you don't care, if you just are not even concerned about us at all. And God, I pray that you would give them, Holy Spirit, you'd give them the strength and the courage. Just grab onto you whatever they can get a hold of and hold on. Thank you for who you are, for being constant, for being somebody who will never let me go, even when I have questions, even when I have doubt. That you are stronger and bigger and more compassionate and loving than any of them. So God, this week, we're going to go to our jobs. We're going to go to our families. We're going to read another news story of hurt and injustice. God, frankly, it makes me angry. I get so mad seeing how much of this hurt is caused by people that who you gave your life for. And I look at it and it's like, God, they don't deserve you. But you know what? That's why I'm not you. Because I can't do it better. I can't make the right choice always. God, be with us, please. Help us.